I'm Emma Reed, and this is a Bribe Podcast.
And I'm Marcus Hale. Today, we're talking about a Russian satellite accused of deliberately jamming GPS signals across Europe and why it matters for commercial flights.
So there's a specific Russian satellite, Cosmos 2546, that's being accused of deliberately messing with GPS signals across Europe. It's a missile early warning satellite, the kind designed to spot launches.
Wait, a missile warning bird suddenly jamming GPS? That's a new twist. It's been up there since 2019, and for years folks just noted it was hanging out in a weird orbit, almost geostationary.
Right. The context that makes this click is that for a long time, observers suspected it was just doing signals intelligence from that sweet spot, just sniffing comms. But now a European spectrum regulator's public workshop report points a finger directly at it for weeks of interference.
And the concrete consequence isn't just theoretical annoyance. The interference overlapped with the Baltic jammer outage, where thousands of commercial flights reported GPS disruption. It points to a pattern of state-level testing of how to scramble navigation during a real crisis. So there was a strange incident in Brazil this week where people across the country suddenly got alarming text messages on their phones.
Right, and these were civil defense alerts, the kind the government uses to warn about floods or landslides. But the messages that went out didn't make any sense. One read like a bizarre threat. If you're not from the government, don't try to block it because it might get worse. That's unsettling language to receive from an official channel.
And it gets weirder. The messages claimed that hackers had taken over the system and would send more if anyone interfered. Authorities say it looks like someone hijacked the cell broadcast system. That's the same tech used for emergency alerts on mobile networks.
So instead of a flood warning, millions of Brazilians got what sounded like a hacker's manifesto. The Federal Cybersecurity Agency and the Justice Ministry are treating this as a likely criminal intrusion.
The concrete consequence is that trust in a critical safety channel just took a hit. People might now hesitate the next time an alert buzzes their phone.
And telecom regulators are scrambling to figure out how someone pushed unauthorized messages through a supposedly locked down system. Because if it happened once, the question is whether it can happen again. Google's reCAPTCHA is getting a new friction check that feels surprisingly old school. You might need to draw a shape to prove you're human.
Wait, you mean actually draw it with a mouse or a finger? Because the old click all the traffic light stuff was already tedious, but at least I didn't have to be precise.
That's exactly it. The system now includes gesture verification where it asks users to trace a specific shape like an arrow or a circle, and it's judging the path and timing, not just the final result.
So it's not a drawing test for accuracy, it's a behavioral one. The checkpoint really is whether the mouse movement looks human because bots can click precisely, but they struggle to mimic the micro pauses and wiggles of a person dragging a finger.
Right, and that's the one context point that ties it together. Google is layering a continuous motion biometric onto a challenge that used to be just point and click. The immediate consequence is that people with motor or visual impairments hit a serious wall.
And if the shape is too large on a mobile screen or the gesture fails twice, the fallback is often audio or image challenges, exactly the same bottlenecks we've seen for years.
Which means even a short gesture prompt can push somebody out of a login flow entirely, so the concrete cost isn't just annoyance, it's lost access in the name of bot defense. The German Statistics Office just put out a number that caught my eye. The population actually shrank last year by about 100,000 to roughly 83.3 million. That's the first decline since 2020.
Right, and when you look under the hood, it's not about birth rates suddenly collapsing. Net immigration fell by more than half, from around 600,000 to roughly 260,000. And at the same time, deaths still outnumbered births by a bit over 300,000.
Which means the buffer that's been masking natural decrease for years got a lot thinner. One concrete knock-on they're already flagging, a smaller working-age population feeds straight into labor shortages in care, trades, and tech, sectors that were already under pressure. Helsingborg's public library now loans sewing machines the way it lends books, part of the city's push to extend the library of things model beyond tools and sports gear.
And this isn't a one-off curiosity. It threads directly into Finland's circular economy strategy. So the city is measuring whether borrowing a sewing machine actually cuts new purchases and textile waste, which puts real policy weight behind a library card.
The library already tracks borrowing data from power tools in CO2 meters. Early patterns suggest members avoid about 60 kilos of CO2 per borrowed item, so the sewing machine pilot will test if soft goods repair drives similar numbers.
If it does, the council may fold mending into the next city climate budget, making a quiet library shelf a surprisingly hard lever on local emissions.
All right, so today we traced five concrete stories. A Russian satellite accused of scrambling GPS over Europe. Brazil's emergency alert system getting hijacked by hackers. Google adding gesture-based drawing checks to reCAPTCHA. Germany's population shrinking for the first time since 2020 because immigration fell off a cliff. And Helsingborg lending out sewing machines as part of Finland's circular economy push.
Stories that all come back to the same question, really. What happens when a system we rely on suddenly works differently than we expected? Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more. I'm Marcus Hale.